Isaiah chapter 42. I'm going to read some scripture and see if you can find the connection. Isaiah 42 and verse 9. Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing, new. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many know a river in a desert's a new thing? Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 6. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Revelation 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. How many grasp the one word that they all had? New. I want to talk this evening on making room for the unusual. I am not speaking on this for you to seek the unusual. That is not what this message is about, but just making room for it and be aware that it happens. The Lord began to speak to me, I believe, about a week ago on this message tonight. And to be honest with you, I don't totally understand the whole meaning of it. I'm still trying to make sense of it, and I'm at times unable to do it. But how many know you don't have to understand everything that God brings you into? And I'm still pondering it and trying to grasp it. But when you look in the Bible, when God would show his servants something, the full meaning of it did not always present itself. Often he would show them something they didn't quite understand the meaning of it. For instance, you have these combination of words. Brother Jim has been a great Bible study in Jeremiah and Wednesday night, but I've noticed from the Bible there's about three things God would show Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:11, he says this, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. I don't think he totally understood everything that was represented. God explained it, but some of God's thing he showed took a while for it to play out. Then Jeremiah 24:3. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are also evil. Then Jeremiah 37, verse 1, where the Bible says, this time Ezekiel. And these men had unusual ministries. And it says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many bones. And you remember the story. Can these bones live again? Unusual things. God, in another place, showed Ezekiel a boiling pot of water. Another time, God showed Ezekiel the sanctuary, and water was flowing in and out of all these gates. And then he saw a marsh, and where the water went, it was good, and all kinds of unusual things. We mentioned last Sunday morning, Moses saw a bush that wasn't being consumed. Can you imagine having a dream when you're 40 years old and waking up a totally different man because of the dream you had? That happened to Solomon when God spoke to him in a dream and asked him, "What do you want, Solomon?" And Solomon knew he was going to be king and take the throne, and so he asked for an understanding heart. I want to talk this evening about unusual ways that God chooses to talk to us. For me personally, I have had them happen at times that I didn't understand. But this I do know, God decides with each of us how he chooses to deal with each of us. And God will choose to deal with one person one way, and he'll choose to deal with another person another way. And all of this, of course, is to conform us to the image of Christ. And but if you take out of the Bible the miracles, if you were to take out of the Bible the unusual things that happened, you wouldn't have very much of a Bible left. It is full of miracles. It is full of unusual things. It's full of whales swallowing a guy, of a donkey talking, and on you could go. And I want to talk about the unusual, because God may choose to talk to you in an unusual way. For me personally, I've had the most unusual ways that God has decided to communicate to me. And it would be simple if I said it was all through the Bible, but when God spoke to these, he didn't use the Bible when he talked to them, and they need not be in competition with each other. I was planning, when I was a younger man, to take the home church of where I was saved, and my pastor was stepping down. And I was being groomed to take the home church. It was like this church in its heyday. It was thriving with 300 people. But I had something very unusual happen to me that had never happened to me before quite like that. I've shared with you, we were driving back from the north. I'd been at a conference, and my wife was asleep and coming down Highway 5. I looked at a town on the right, and the name of the town was Wairika. And the Lord, now this was usual, this is normal, although at that time it was new to me as I was learning the ways of God. He just spoke to me clearly within my heart and quickened to me that I would pioneer a church there. The reason that was difficult to grasp was, in about 6 months, I was being groomed to take the home church. And so for the next 4 months, when I was home, I was very troubled. I didn't dare share it with my pastor. He would have thought for sure I heard from the devil. And I just wasn't comfortable sharing it with him. And so I kept praying about it. We needed to take a trip up north. And so we stopped in a town of Redding, or Red Bluff, California. I said to my wife, honey, I'm in conflict. I don't know what to do. We're supposed to take this. And yet I believe God spoke to me 3 or 4 months ago. And I was taught, if you're going to fleece God, do it hard, do it really difficult. So if God does come through, there'll be no doubt in your mind. You don't say, well, God, if you want me to marry Susie, let me see a white car going down the road. It just doesn't work that way. Now, if you were to say, let me see 3 white cars with 3 hubcaps missing and with a tailpipe going back up over there on the top and a guy smoking a pipe, now that might be different. But I was in Wairika, and I said, honey, here's what I'm going to pray. And I said, I don't know why, but I feel impressed to pray this way. Let me put it that way. If it's God's will that we pioneer, if we pioneer Wairika, then I'm going to ask God, when we get up tomorrow morning and we're heading to the funeral of my grandpa in Newburgh, Oregon, if it's God's will, we're going to stop at a store and we're going to have to get some allergy medication. And I'm going to ask God, as we pull into town, God, bring to me a man dressed in red. And this man will come up. He will say something. He may not know he's being led of God. He may know he's being led of God, but the red is going to represent the stoplight or a red stop sign. If, however, he is dressed in green, then it means like the green light. Just forget about pioneering and keep on going. And we went to bed that night. Next morning we got up. I've told you this to the point I'm going to bore you to death, but I must go over it. And as we got up the next morning and we pulled into the town, my father asked me what intersection you want to take. And I said, well, take the second one. It'll get us to the heart of town. Well, unbeknownst, he took the first one. He went underneath the underpass. We started right. And there at 8 o'clock in the morning was a truck. And out from the truck walked 2 men. There were 6 men. They were all dressed in red everywhere. Red hats, red coats, red pants, red boots. 2 of them walked around, stopped our car, came around, said something to my mother in the back seat, came around. We came up to my window. I looked up. And then he held a portable stop sign right in the window and said, you're going to have to stop here for a while. We're sorry. It was a road construction crew. I turned around and looked at my wife and said, is that good enough for you? She said, yes. So we pioneered a church there for 2 years. At the end of the 2 years, I was always taught that you be faithful. And I knew it was God that spoke to me or used in an unusual way that got me there. And I was beginning to feel it's time to go. But we didn't know where to go. We didn't know what to do. I'm preaching on doing, and maybe I just feel like maybe God is maybe dealing with some of you that you're in new territory. And so I just want to share that with you. God's into doing new things. And so my wife, what are we going to do? I don't know. We took a trip to see my sister back in Minnesota. I was very low, very down, very discouraged, and didn't know what I was going to do. The finances, it was getting difficult. I had a little baby that was born, and yet I was looking to God to see me through. And you see, I've always believed when times are rough, you don't run. But if God speaks to you to go, then you go. But if you don't learn to stay during the rough times and you always run every time there's a rough time, you'll be running the rest of your life. And you need to learn to stand and still and let God fight your battles and let God do it. And I figured God got me here and he's quite capable of speaking to me if he wants me to go. But I'm not going to go based on circumstances. It wasn't circumstances that got me here and I'm not going to allow circumstances to move me on. On the way back, I remember from my sisters, we stopped at a little place in Kansas City. I wanted to go to a church that night because I was very depressed and didn't know what I was going to do. We're going to go home to a church that was struggling, and I was having a hard time to make ends meet. And so I went out to get some refreshments. I went to a church service that night hoping the man would call me out and have a word for me, but such was not the case. as I was coming back, I remember meditating and saying, Lord, I remember how you got me there. That prayer that I prayed about red representing the red man and the green would be a green light. But God, it was there. And I don't know how you're going to speak to me. But I'll know if you do speak to me. But I'm going through it. I got back to the motel, and I got a list of things I'd need, and so I went, and I was on a motel. We stopped at a Motel 6. I was on the upstairs, and as I was walking to go down to the car, I stopped, and my heart was heavy, and I just stopped for a moment, and I looked down between my feet, and I saw a green light. I've told this here, but I've got other things I want to tie in with it, because I'm talking about God dealing with you in unusual ways and speaking to you in terms and ways that you're not used to Him speaking to you. But I looked down, and on the ground between my feet was a green light. The green light went on, and then it went off. And I thought, what was that? And I'm looking for a physical explanation. I'm like there's an exit sign back there, and it was that color of green. And I'm looking for an exit sign that maybe is reflecting and causing that on the smooth concrete. I don't see it. I look out on the street and to think, well, no, that light's too far away to cause. I look down there. It came on again. It went off. And I'm thinking, I'm losing my mind. But let me back up just for a moment. The very first time that green light came on, God spoke to me by His precious Holy Spirit and said, there's your green light, I'm moving you on. And He reminded me, remember the red represents the stoplight and the green represents the green light? Well, I'm moving you on. I felt all the burden leave. I knew I'm out of Wairika. I didn't know where I was going. But now I've got to try to explain what this green light is, or they're going to turn me into a funny farm. And the third time it came on, I jumped down, took a good look at it, because my vision's not that great at night. And if it wasn't a green firefly, it was the first firefly I've ever seen in my life. That little thing, its little bottom was up in the air, and it was going around, and then it would go back. And he had his little hind end lit up, and I was thanking God for a lit up hind end of a green firefly. And I went back to the room where my wife was. I said, honey, we're going. And she, where are we going? I said, well, God told me we're resigning. Oh, she did? He did? Where are we going? I said, I have no idea. But I thought to myself, God, that is amazing how you, 2 years later, used a little green bug to release me. And to go. Now, have you ever noticed in the Bible that things that God did only one time? It's an amazing study. If you ever go through the Bible, God only did one time. For instance, when He told Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, and offer him on an altar for a sacrifice. Never before had God ever said that to a man, nor has He done so since. And yet, there had been no precedent set. Abram had no Bible to look at in order to be able to line up and say, my goodness, is this biblical or not? He did not have that. And yet, God was in it. Now, if you'll think with me, Abraham is known for his faith. And he did not get that faith from reading Scripture. And you may think that I'm down on Scripture. My goodness, no. I base everything on Scripture. Let me move on. Only one time, things that God did in Scripture. You have the time when God came down and at the Tower of Babel. And He actually, remember where He caused confusion? And for the first time on Mother Earth, that doesn't sound right, Mother Earth. Let's just call it Earth. But the first time on Earth, you have languages, and God never done that before, and never happened since. Now let's look at another one that only wants that God did something. And you have God making a man with incredible strength. His name was Samson. And he had long hair, and we know that when that hair got cut, he lost his strength. Do you know if Samson were to live today, and if the story of Samson had not been in the Bible, the ministry of Samson and that unusual strength would probably not be accepted in three-fourths of our church world, because they would look and say, well, I don't see any Bible precedent for this. And yet it happened to Samson, and some of the book had been written, but how many know it was of God? And God only did it one time. Only one time did God have a man to go to sleep, and that man wake up totally different than when he went to sleep. His name was Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Verse 9, he requested, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people. And God was pleased. And then verse 12, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. And here's what the Bible says. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Outside of Jesus, God had never done that before. And yet, let me give you another one. And I'm basing all this on what we quote all the time as full gospel, rightfully so, Pentecostal people. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am proposing to you, he still does things that have only been done one time. Let's move on. Only one time in Scripture do I read in Scripture. God did something he never did before. And it is one of the most amazing miracles to me. I don't understand it. I don't claim to totally grasp it. But it's John the Baptist who is filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Isn't that amazing? You try to figure that one out. I can't. He's filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He could have been a great high jumper. Because the Bible says when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, who had been pregnant now a few more months than she was, it said that John the Baptist leaped in her womb. Isn't that amazing? God did it just one time. Never has he ever done it since. Nobody that I know of has been full of the Holy Ghost since their mother's womb. How about the time of the virgin birth? Although that was prophesied it would happen, and he said, I will tell you before it happened, but only one time has there ever been a virgin birth. I used to tell the young people, we had quite a few of them, and I could tell them acting themselves in an unbecoming way, don't you come around to me and tell me you got pregnant and nobody had anything to do with it. There was only one virgin birth handed out, and there won't be any more handed out. Let me give you another one. God only did one time. Only one time. On the day of Pentecost, when they were all in the upper room, we read of cloven tongues like as of fire sat upon each of them. Now, many people have been filled with the Holy Ghost since then, but I am not aware of cloven tongues literally landing on people like it did. How many are aware God can do things only one time? And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you remove the unusual things in the Bible and the supernatural events, you might as well take away much of the Bible. But out of Dallas Seminary, your main Bible colleges today, what we call sensationists that believe that the day of miracles are no more, that they believe that those things and unusual things don't happen anymore. Now, we Pentecostal people, we believe in God doing miracles. But what I want to say, listen, not only do you need to make room for miracles, you need to make room for God doing unusual things in your life. Back to fleecing God. And it was God that got me to where we pastored for the next 23 years in White Salmon. After I'd been there 22 years, I had something very unusual happen to me. I could not understand it. It later came to me, the meaning. And that's what you have often in the Bible of these that I mention. I was having coffee in Hood River at a coffee shop. I've been there 22 years. I'm sitting in the coffee shop when the most unusual thing happened to me. It's never happened before. It's never happened since. I'm sitting next in the back of the coffee shop, and there is a vase. And this vase has got my attention like nothing I've ever... It might as well just reach out and grab my attention. And I'm thinking, why is this vase got my attention? I'm reading my Bible, and it's like this vase is just... And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. And I'm not into animation, although I know the stars sing and everything can talk, everything to have breath, and this thing ain't got breath. Praise the Lord. But I am aware of a spiritual thing taking place. When I hear the front door ring and I hear a lady say, I hope you're still there. And she walks all the way back to where I am. She picks up that vase. She looks at it. She embraces it. She kisses it. And she says, you're coming home with me. God later revealed to me that God was letting me know that He was moving me on from pastoring in White Salmon for 23 years. I'm talking about allowing God to speak to you in unusual ways. We can get in a rut. And I totally believe in this book. How many know He speaks to us in this? And I also believe He'll speak to us by the Holy Spirit. But if you limit how God is going to speak to you and you just shut down and you not be sensitive to other ways that God speaks to you, you can miss God. May we learn to stay open. Allow God to be different. Allow God to speak and do things that are unusual. You can get stuck in a rut. Change is difficult to accept. But if we know that God is for change, I don't mean any kind of change, I mean the right kind of change. But here is the difficulty. God can maybe be trying to speak to you, but you're not used to that way. He may choose to speak to you in other ways that are known only unto Him. When I was preparing this message this morning as I left, I knew I was going to be speaking on something new. When Debbie said to me, did you see Donnie's new toy? And he got a new toy down here. And I said to myself, I'm on track. Why does God maybe speak to us in different ways? Number one, I'm not asking you to be gullible. I'm asking you to be sensitive. God may choose to speak to you in a way that is different to keep you on your toes, always alert, always sensitive. God may choose to deal with you in a way that never has been done before or since. Remember, you're unique. You are totally unique. And God does things just one time. He may choose to speak to you in a way, and you're going to take this wrong, and I don't mean for you to, please. He may speak to you outside of this. It will never disagree with it, but it may be in a way that you're not used to, and they're not in competition. Now, be prepared to be laughed at. Be prepared to be mocked at. In my early days, when God began to deal with me and speak to me in unusual ways, I was made fun of by a lot of other brothers in the ministry. They're out of the ministry today, and I'm still thumping on. Do you remember when Joseph himself, God spoke to him in a way maybe his brothers were not used to, in a dream? And they mocked him for it. In fact, when Joseph came to bring them food sent by his father, do you remember what they said? Here comes the dreamer. There are some things that God does that has shown me that I may not understand the meaning. In his time, he can reveal it. I still have something that I still don't know the meaning of. I know it was from God. I'll wait for him to make it clear. But I was in Arizona. And one day as I was heading into the mall, I looked down in the midst of a bunch of little pebbles. They don't grow grass there. It's too hot to grow grass. So they just grow rocks. And they had these little pebbles. And as I rounded the corner, I see a very shiny penny. I told this 7 years ago. I see a shiny penny on the ground. I keep going, and my father taught me, don't you ever pass up a coin. So I turned around. I went back to pick the coin up. I had not passed that coin more than 3 feet. It would be like right here. Here's the corner. As I go, I see it. I look. I've got no farther. You get that penny. And was the penny heads up? That's God's blessings. If it's no, if it, so I turned around and went back. And I can't find the penny. Well, where'd that penny go? I got down on my hands and knees for the next 10 minutes. Boy, am I tight or what? And I couldn't find that penny. It wasn't the penny I wanted. I felt a spiritual rush. It was unusual. I went back inside to the store. And it was like a broken record coming back. What in the world is going on? I went out at least 5 times that day, each time spending 10, 15 minutes on my knees looking for that penny. Why? Because I knew God was into something and I couldn't figure quite out what it was. People coming along, did you lose something? Oh no, I'm just looking for a penny. In 108 degree weather? Finally, I went back inside. And I tell the lady at the desk, well, I don't know. I know there's something in this. And so as I leave work that day, there's a penny right at the door before you go out. And I thought one of them turkeys, they put it there just to bug me. It's not there. Or I went the next day, did any of you put that penny there? No. How many remember Leroy Jenkins? I went over to visit him because I know that man has a gift. And I know that as often in the Old Testament, they would go to the seer, they'd go. So I went to his office. As I am just about to enter in, there's about 8 of them sitting around the table. And I see him taking a penny and putting it into an envelope. And I walk up and I said, what did you just put in that envelope? He said, a penny. Somebody sent me a penny. I said, that's just what I came to talk to you about. We went to lunch. He brought a man with him. I said, Brother Leroy, I know this sounds weird. I know this is unusual. But I told him about that penny. And I said, I believe God's in it. And I'm not quite sure what the message is. And they all speculated. How many know when you can tell the difference between speculation and somebody who's heard from God? Well, Leroy was speculating. And he admitted, I don't know. At least he was on us to admit that. We got back to his office, and nothing more had been said about the penny. You're going to think you are under the most weirdest pastor in the world, but hang on with me. As we got back, Brother Leroy looked at me, and he brought it up again. He said, you know, that was interesting. He said, there is something about that penny. I don't know quite. Hold on a second, he said. God told me there's another penny right over here. We walk 40 yards away in the parking lot. And there's a curb and I got more of them rocks. And he said, the Lord tells me it's right in here. I mean, he's like a Geiger counter. I might as well, he's better than a metal detector. And it's right here. Well, I look. I get down on my hands and knees, and he said, no, it's right down in there. And there is a penny down in. He said, now why would God tell me that? I said, I'm hoping you would know. He said, I don't know. I could go on and you would want to see that I would be committed. We began to see for the next 2 weeks at least 6 times a penny with a dime no further than a foot away. There's no doubt in my mind God's in that. I don't know what it is. In His time, He will reveal. What I'm talking about is you can get into a certain rut. And I'm asking you to be aware that God is very unique. And what He did was no different than a donkey talking, than a whale swallowing a man, than walking around the walls of Jericho and they fall down, than waiting for wind to blow in mulberry trees before you go to battle, or to break a pitcher with a light and then it causes the enemy. Look at the miracles that happened. They're all unusual. And yet we begin to have these things happen to us and we back off. I listened to a Baptist minister mock and make fun of ministers that claim to get a word of knowledge. Now, he's a very good preacher. And I said to myself, you stinker. If you had experienced it yourself, you wouldn't have that attitude. And then about 6 months later, I hear him preach a sermon where he's trying to win somebody to God, and he doesn't want this man to leave his office unless this man repents. He's crying, and he finally says to the man, as he said, no, let me out of the way, and the man begins to leave. And then this minister said, stop! He said, God just spoke to me and said, you only have 48 hours to get right with God. Just 48 hours. I said to myself, you stinker. That's what's called a word of knowledge. You accept it when it happens to you, but then you turn around and you mock Pentecostals that claim God speaks to them. If God speaks to somebody different than He does you, don't knock it. But allow God to be God in your life. And allow faith to rise up and say, God, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And You can speak to me however You want to. I don't put limitations on how You are going to speak to me. I knew a guy that used to always come to this particular church. And there was no doubt in my mind that God did speak to him. He always had something weird. The problem was, this man was not faithful to the house of God. And therefore, because he was not faithful to the house of God, he lost credibility with the people in God that did go to church. And when he'd say, nobody listens to me, I'd say, well, there's a reason why nobody listened to you. I'm not saying God doesn't speak to you, but you have no credibility because you have no faithfulness to the house of God. When you learn to begin to be faithful to the house of God, then people might begin to think that God does talk to you. I'm not saying that I was right, but he had no reason to be upset. What I'm trying to say this evening is when you seek him, I'm not saying let's seek something weird. That's not what I'm saying. There are people that just seek weird stuff, and they're always looking for the weirdest thing. I'm not saying do that. You seek God. But you allow God to talk to you any way He chooses. And be sensitive. And be open. You never know. Why do you think when God said to Moses, when I saw that he turned aside to see why the bush was not burned? Are you turning aside? Are you turning aside to check the unusual? You might find a great message there. Let's stand. God does new things. God does unusual things. And you know, here's where the challenge is for many. When the Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Your understanding of the book can limit you. I want to say it again. Your understanding of the book can limit you because you don't understand the book. How many know you really don't understand the book? I don't. I don't understand all of the book. I'm not throwing the book out. But when I hear people say, you got to line everything up with the book, you be careful. It may be in the book. You just don't know the book. And as long as you limit God to your understanding of the book, He may be trying to talk to you in a way that you don't think is in the book. How many know we got to be open to God? Not gullible, but hungry and sincere. Paul the Apostle. How many know he knew the book, but he didn't know it well enough when God gave him a vision and said, Paul, you're persecuting Christians. How many know Peter knew the book, but he didn't know it well enough when God said to go to the Gentiles? Folks, I need understanding. I really do. I pray, God, give me understanding. Give me understanding. But God, at the same time, speak to me. Speak to me. How many know we got to have a hunger for God and to seek Him? Father, You said, lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Sometimes my understanding of Your book is what messes me up. And Lord, that's not the book's fault. That can be because that's the way I was taught. It can be because that's the way I believe. But oh God, let my hunger for You be so strong. Don't let me get into error. Let me make sure I line it up within the book. But Lord, so many things happen that we're not even in the book to line up the book. Oh Jesus, let Your church rise up. Lord, I just believe that this message is for somebody that is going through a new time in their life. And I just pray You bless that new time in their life. You're always doing new things. May You give peace to that one, Lord, that would say, I've never been here this way before. I'm not sure about this. God, You have a way of giving them peace, of giving them Your assurance. May we love Your book, but may we not be a know-it-all. May we be hungry, and may You lead us and guide us. Lord, what I'm saying is I need the Holy Spirit to understand the book. Don't let my natural mind keep me from seeing the spiritual truths in the book that were Holy Spirit inspired and Holy Spirit understood. Oh God, I pray for the Holy Ghost to understand Your book. I pray, Lord, for a hunger that seeks You. If you're here this evening and you feel like you're going through a season that's new in your life, would you just stand out and come out and stand in the middle of the aisle? I want to pray God just give you peace for a place you've never been before, and that He give you peace. It's new, but it's God. Amen. Now, can I get others to come and stand behind, and let's just have a good time of prayer this evening? And they need not be in competition. They can complement each other. Father, I pray for these that You're taking them into a new area. You're always doing something new, and sometimes it's so unique. And Lord, we look for something to compare it with, and we can't because we're so unique. You only do some things only one time. But God, it's still You. And God, You can do something one time and never do it again, and it's still You. And I pray, Lord, for a Holy Ghost peace. I pray for a Holy Ghost understanding. I pray for a Holy Ghost baptism that, Lord, we know that You are leading me and doing a new thing in my life. You're doing a new thing, Lord, continually in this world. And God, may I not let the traditions that are wrong keep me from it. There are good traditions and there are bad traditions. Give me the ones that You're in, God. Give me wisdom to know what You're in. Give me Your presence, Lord, to know. Let my hunger, God, be so strong that it breaks down the barriers and the walls that keep me, Lord, from hearing from You. Oh, God, bless Your people. Bless Your people. do a new thing in them. You know, because here's what the Bible says. Listen, it says that we're changed from glory to glory. That means when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, He was lit up like Moses was. When we're being changed, God has to do a new thing in you to take you from here to there to there. It's all being conformed to Him, but it's done. Most times it won't be unusual. Usually it's not. Sometimes it is. I just pray your hunger will reach out to accept it and allow Him to bring peace. Father, thank you. Change us from glory to glory. It's all to be conformed to Christ. But the means and the road that you get us there, Lord, it insults the mind. It moves beyond our understanding sometimes. We're not in control. We can't understand it. We can't grasp it. And sometimes that's good because it moves us to operate in faith. It causes us to operate in the supernatural. And so, Lord, I pray your people, you help them, Lord, to lean not into their own understanding. And, Lord, that encompasses more than just the world way of understanding. Sometimes our church understanding can be in the way. God, break down the barriers and let us have faith that sees you in your glorious way. Oh, God, do a new thing, Lord. Do a new thing. Cause me to grow in grace and knowledge. It's all good, God. Keep me, Lord, balanced in your word. We'll always look to it and refer to it. But, oh God, stretch me. Stretch your people, God. Give them peace. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. Lord bless you. Thank you, Jesus.